come on up here. Won't you share his testimony? Give him a great big hand as he comes up. We love Roger.
Hello. In 1951, I lived in a little burg that had a highway that actually went through the town. I just got a new bicycle, and I was coming from the post office, and I came down this hill onto this road, and this car coming about 75 miles an hour took and hit me head on. And I flipped up over some telephone wires, and I landed in a bush, and got up from there and said, I'll be okay. But the police took and put me in a cop car and hauled me 70 miles to the hospital. But anyhow, it was probably about 10 years later, God had woke me up and showed me this kid getting hit and over the telephone wires and landed in the bush. And I didn't think too much about it. And he says, you know that I planted that bush for you to land in when that accident happened. And I said to God, well, wouldn't it have been easier just to have that guy come a little slower and not even be there? And he said, that might be true, but he says, everything has an order. And he says, that was in the order for you to be hit like that and for that to actually take place. And so anything that happens in your life, you might think that it's not supposed to be there, but it belongs to be there. It just, God's watching over you when you don't think he's watching over you. But for him to have planted that bush for me to land in so I didn't get hurt when I landed. He's just real. I was 10 years old. It would have been easy for me to be snuffed out. If the bush hadn't been there, I'd have hit the ground too hard and it would have killed me. But Lord bless you.
I had to stew for him, but he said it wasn't going to be that long. So, now, my mess should be a little bit longer now, okay, just so you know. But what a testimony. I mean, man, you're talking about God watching over you, hitting hit on a bike with a car and flipping up like that and just walking away from that. God wasn't ready for Roger to be with him. He had to have him get married and raise kids and have grandkids and, you know, serve the Lord and have an awesome, incredible pastor here at Living Word. I mean, all that would have been missed. So we're thankful for that. All right, kiddos, you ready to go back with Miss Jewel, Mr. Randy? Y'all can head on back. We'll get into our message tonight. We're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Tonight we're going to be talking about how angels actually served humanity in a very tangible, real way. That angels showed up, not just in a dream or a vision, but they showed up actively to help mankind through something. So we got, I think, four examples tonight we're going to go through. The first one's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. This is when Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. Then yes, Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice another point in this message is Jesus combats the devil with the word of God. It's very important we do that. That we combat the devil with the word of God. We don't have to make up our own scenario of how to fight him. We just simply use the word of God we already have against him. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time they dash thy foot against a stone. The devil is quoting Psalms 91. Back to God. His own word. Jesus said to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him to an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then look what happens after the third temptation. Then the devil leaves because the word of God drove him away. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Picture that. He'd been fasting 40 days. He was weak. He was hungry. He was tired. Then the devil come after him with three temptations that he had to overcome through the word of God. And then when the devil left, angels actually came to Jesus and ministered unto him. A real tangible work of angels in the earth that came to give. Were they a minister? Doesn't say. Don't know. I just know this. They brought strength, I'm sure, to him, hope, peace, whatever he needed in that moment, those angels were able to minister. So that's one example of angels serving in a tangible, real way, and they actually helped serve Jesus on the earth. Next example is in Luke chapter 1. And Luke 1 and 2 are astounding how angels were used. It's really awesome. Luke 1:1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth an order, a declaration unto these things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the house of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest or office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, unto Zacharias, the priest now, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall not drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Isn't that powerful? What a message to receive. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This angel is not only being used to declare this old couple is going to have a kid, but how this kid is going to be, the anointing upon his life, the promise on his life, the future he's going to produce, and the change he's going to make. Pretty powerful. Tangible way angels being used here. And Zacharias said to the angel, he's talking back. They were able to communicate, church. Wherefore shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. We can't have no youngins, angel. We're old. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto you and to bear thee these glad tidings. God sent me to you. God divinely and directly sent me to address you and give you this message. This is a God moment, and God used his angel to declare this good news. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, which means not be able to talk, not able to speak until the day that the thing shall be performed. Don't we need God to shut some mouths every now and then? Wouldn't that be awesome? You shall be dumb and not able to speak until these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. We all in here have a season. We have many seasons. We have different seasons. And we have to trust that God is going to fulfill his promise to us in our season. If something's not happened yet, you've got to trust God it's not the right season. But it's coming when it's the right season. So God, I'll keep planting, I'll keep watering, and I'll keep waiting. And when that season comes, it will be performed, just as you said. Trust the season you're in, and trust the seasons that are yet to come. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. They probably thought he died, right? Remember what they thought in the old days? They put, you know, if they didn't hear the bells jingling, or if the priest was delayed, they couldn't even go behind the veil themselves. So here he's taking all this time. Where's this priest? Why is he not done yet? What's happening? He was having a whole angel experience behind the veil. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and he remained speechless. Can you imagine this? I come up here on a Sunday morning, can't talk. Now what I'm going to do, I'm trying to tell y'all I can't talk. Something supernatural happened. Not only did this angel deliver a message, this angel was sent by God to deliver a message. This angel gave him a message. This angel gave him the prophecy of what was to come. And this angel shut up his tongue and vocal cords where he couldn't even speak. These are the servants of God. These are creations by our Heavenly Father to bring messages, to bring hope, to bring encouragement, to bring direction. Angels are real, and they're still real today. And I still believe with all of my heart that God can show up in the very same way. He can show up in your bedroom tonight and stand beside your bed with you wide awake and speak to you a message from the throne. No doubt about it. Because they're all around. If we're going to sing songs about them, we better believe in them. If we're going to call everybody that dies an angel went to heaven, we better believe in them. If we're going to wear wings on our necklaces and rings, we better believe in them. Angels are a creation by God. They serve a purpose for God, just like you serve a purpose for God. Just a different order of creation. Verse 14. Oh, I'm sorry. Good Lord. 23. I was on the wrong page. Right location, wrong page. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. The child did come. Just like the angel said, the child was named John. We know him as John the Baptist. The real name is John the Baptizer, but we've shortened it to John the Baptist. But surely John the Baptizer. And he did come. He was named that. And what was John's purpose? To foretell the one to come after him. He was a voice. He was kind of like the bugle that sounds before the cavalry comes. You know, he was the voice crying in the wilderness. He's the one saying, there's somebody coming after me. I'm trying to prepare the way. There's a Messiah. He's on the earth. He's going to be your Savior. He's going to redeem you. All that look upon him shall be saved. I'm not he. I'm just a voice that's pointing to who he is. John was a mighty man used by God. And guess what happened to John the Baptizer, bless his heart? He was martyred for the sake of the gospel. He was beheaded. His head was cut off his shoulders for standing up for the Christian Jesus way. But he had a purpose, and he had a season. And it was no mistake. Just like Roger said, I like what he said, that, you know, that bush was planted for a future event in your life that was required. You don't think God didn't know when the angel was down there declaring to Elizabeth, you're going to have a child in your old age, and he's going to be a voice for the people to point them to the Messiah? You don't think God didn't know what his end would be as much as his beginning would be? You're going to be born to a woman whose womb is dried up. Then you're going to be executed and your head cut off for the sake of the gospel. From beginning to end, the purpose was defined by God. We have to trust our seasons. It's not the way we want to end. But man, John went out serving the Master. And what a great reward he received for the season he was placed for. The very next verse goes to a second example. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, he's a busy man, busy angel, wasn't he? The angel Gabriel was sent from God again. Look at it, sent from God. We talked about how angels take their orders from God. They are messengers and servants of God. Unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto Mary and says, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I always thought it was fascinating, Bill, that John the Baptist and Jesus was both born supernaturally. You know, Elizabeth was barren, couldn't have kids. He's the forerunner. Here comes the Messiah, born of a virgin, apart from man completely. And they were pretty much within the same, just a few months apart, they were born because they were contemporaries. And they were right there together, how an angel declared the same message to two different people for a supernatural purpose. The angel... Excuse me. And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Once again, they're both communicating with each other. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. I love that. Forever. He's still reigning. Did he die? Yes, but he rose again, and he's reigning. Death didn't interrupt his reign. Death was part of his reign. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. She's asking the angel, how can I have a kid when I'm still a virgin? I've not been with a man, angel. How is this going to possibly happen? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We need more of that in this world, the Holy Ghost overshadowing us, overpowering us, overcoming all the things that we try to fight against and letting him just surrendering to that overshadowing presence of God to pour into us all that we need and what he desires of us. But most of us come into church, all of us, because we're human, with some walls and some borders and some stipulations. You know, I want to feel the Spirit, but not that much. You know, I want to feel God, but not too much. I want to be blessed, but not like that. And we kind of tie God's hands. What a beautiful verse. I could preach a whole message off that verse there. I mean, the Holy Ghost shall come upon. That is my phone. I'm so sorry.
I thought I'd turn it down.
No, I've turned it down. Verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month. They're 6 months apart, John the Baptist and Jesus. She's 6 months with her who was called barren. So God opens up a barren womb, gives a child. Opens up a virgin womb, gives a child. Because look what verse 37 says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Man, we put limitations on God, don't we? Because we can't see it. We can't fix it. It's not happened yet. It can't be changed. It's unchangeable because it's not changed yet. But with God, we see two miracles. I know, James, but that was back then, and that was for an event. You don't think God can still produce miracles today, and that God don't still have purposes for our lives in this generation? That God doesn't have people he wants to raise up and be used for his kingdom today? Of course he does. Of course he does. The devil tried to take out Roger all them years ago, a little 10-year-old boy. Just ride a little bike, ring his little bell. You know, God's big old Three Musketeer bar and Dr. Pepper in a basket, just cheesing. No glasses, no gray hair, just, you know, cheesing. Little boy. Then his world changed in a second. But God had a different plan. This verse can very much go for Roger's testimony, can't it? With God, nothing is impossible. Who else survives getting hit at a high speed by a car on a bicycle that flips you as high as the power lines and you land and walk away from that? You're not this one. That one's mine. There's nothing impossible. Nothing impossible. Doc's got a good testimony too. Got to get him to share his sometime. I don't know how honest he'll be. But Doc was a scoundrel back in his day. And God changed his life. And I mean God changed it. You know, Doc's transformation from what he's told me through the years was not a crockpot transition. He didn't go from being really bad to 3 hours later being a little bit bad to 6 hours later being a little less bad to 10 hours later being not so bad to 2 days later being okay. He wasn't a pot roast kind of Christian. Because you told me when God came into your life, man, you changed. I mean, you microwave, buddy. Instant 1 minute rice. That's what Doc was. And God changed him. Changed what he was. Changed Doc's mouth. Changed Doc's habits. Changed Doc in every way. His story is so inspirational to me to realize that the Holy Spirit overshadowed his life and changed him. There's hope for them scoundrels you're praying for. Keep praying for them. Just because they're a scoundrel today don't mean they'll be a scoundrel the rest of their lives. They can have a moment where God touches them because nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." So Mary acknowledged the angel and says, "What you say, let it be true." And the angel departed from her. You notice in these events, angels don't hang around long term, do they? They're just they come to give revelation. They came to give a message. They came for a purpose and a moment in time. And then they depart. Now, I know we have angels that are all around us every day. We have those guardian angels, and I do believe in that. And I believe Roger's guardian angel. I'm glad he was awake, and I'm glad he was on time, and I'm glad he was alert because he had a really good one. We all should pray for Roger's guardian angel because that's a good one. I mean, he did a good job. Or she, excuse me. Excuse me. Take more for one than Roger. All right, let's go into chapter 2. Is that correct? Yep, chapter 2 of Luke. Verse 6, it is so that while they were there, this is when they went in to be taxed, you know, and Mary getting ready to deliver Jesus. It was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And here we go. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." All people. Here's these shepherds, minding their business. Another night. "Hey, George, what'd you do this morning? Hey, George, how you doing? Who won that ball game last night, George? I don't know, Fred. I turned it off in the third quarter." I don't know. They're talking, right? They're just sharing. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sky lights up, and an angel is communicating once again, verbally communicating to these shepherds that I've got something very important to announce. I've got great news. They go on to say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You shall find the babe lying in, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then after the angel announced, you know, who he was and where they could find him, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, more angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These angels were excited about declaring this good news. Do you realize Jesus was also their creator? He was their Lord. He was their God. And they're announcing that. "I've got good news, shepherds. There's a babe who's going to be a Savior to all the people, and I'll tell you how to find them and where to find them." They brought a very important announcement in the lives of these shepherds. And angels can still speak to our lives today if we'll open our ears and listen. And yes, we have the Holy Spirit. Listen to that as well. But we talked about that, how God uses us to serve, God uses his angels to serve. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass.'" The angels came, you know, the old saying in war, right? Shock and awe, right? It's kind of what happened, right? Angels have a shock and awe moment. Here I come. Now it's a message. It's really good news. It's really powerful. Booyah, now I'm gone. So go and find this babe. Making announcements, giving direction, opening up the eyes to see things they wouldn't see without. We've got one more, right? Acts chapter 12. We'll close out with this. Acts chapter 12. This is when Peter was in prison. He was arrested for, once again, just preaching Jesus. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews..." Isn't that something, though? The Jews were happy that James was killed with a sword for preaching Jesus. And that's exactly who Jesus came to, was the Jews. "Man, I came to you, Jewish nation. I came to you. You're my promised seed. You're my heritage. You're my people. You're my nation. You're my beloved. And I came to rescue you from a law that you couldn't keep. And if you want to stay under that law, you're going to be away from me for the rest of your life, because you're going to come short. You're going to be separated. But I came to fulfill a promise from Isaiah. I came to fulfill a promise from the old prophets who said that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call him Emmanuel. I am he." And now you are celebrating not just the death of the Messiah. Now they're celebrating the death of those that preach about the Messiah. Celebrating it. So the people were happy that James was killed. "So because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread." There was a feast going on, so he didn't want to do anything during the week of the feast, so he held him. "When he apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him." That's 12 soldiers. "And attending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." They had him locked up, controlled by all these soldiers, and after Easter, they're going to bring him out and execute him like they did James. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him out, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter," he touched Peter on the side, "and raised him up," saying, once again, physical, tangible communication and presence, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. I want you to visualize that. Chains don't just fall off your hands. I mean, a cop's got somebody handcuffed. They don't just fall off. Oops, how'd that happen? He was chained up tight. But when the angel touched him, told him to rise, there was enough power, supernatural power from God, that his chains fell off. No key, no saw, no zigzag thing, no dynamite. No, let's bust him out lefty. You know, I mean, they just fell off. Supernaturally fell off. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And the angel said to him, gird thyself. Get your clothes on. Get your stuff together. Bind on your sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments on thee and follow me. He went out. Now this angel is not just waking him up. He's not just talking to him. He didn't just break his chains off. Now he's following him. He's leading Peter out of his bondage. And when he went out, he followed him, and he did not know if it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of its own accord. The Adams family. I mean, you know, can you imagine getting up there? Nobody's there. They're not touching it. Supernaturally, it opened. God was using his angels to do a supernatural work in the life of his saints. And God is still moving among us now. We must believe that there's a supernatural realm, church, because there is. It opened of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and then the angel departed from him. Shock and awe, right? I'm here, wake up, get dressed, handcuffs, door, gate, see ya. I mean, the whole process couldn't have been that long. And now he's gone, and the angel departed. His job was done. The season that God used his angels in each of these accounts was for a very specific purpose and a very specific time. And God accomplished that. How does that relate to us today? Be aware of what's around you. You know, and when you pray and when you seek God, get into a place that goes beyond our natural realm. That's why the Bible says to pray in the Spirit always. You know, that our spirit knows to pray for things that our flesh doesn't sometimes. And there's sometimes when I pray, I'm silent. I don't say a word. I'm just in silence before God. And then before I know it, I begin to talk to God. I begin to say things I wouldn't have said if I'd have started right out because I didn't know what to say. And then the Spirit would lead me to saying something. There's many ways we can pray. And there's many things that can happen to us still today in the supernatural realm if we'll trust God and allow God to move in our lives. God is still there to give us a message. God is still there to give us revelation. God is still there to help us, set us free. God's there to, his angel is there to protect us and guide us and be with us and comfort us. God is still in the angel business. That's not changed. Because this canon, this book, the 66 books that we call our Holy Bible, because that has been written and recorded and nothing added to it for 2,000 years, does not mean that it's ended. God is still God. He's still risen from the dead. He is still Lord. He is still alive. His angels are still present, and they're all around us. And I am so thankful that even his angels have a desire and a hunger for the things of God. It's a beautiful thing. Angels who served in a tangible, real way. Not a ghost, not a vision, not a dream, but tangible, audible, physical way.